chapter 26, starting at verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord.
So Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples. Only an hour or so before that, they'd shared in the Passover meal, the fellowship meal of the people of God, which we have come to know as Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus as the Last Supper. And during that meal, Jesus had been preparing the disciples for his death. It was during the meal that Judas left the table and walked out to commit his act of betrayal. It was at the end of that meal that Jesus predicted to Peter that Peter would himself later betray Jesus. Now Jesus wants to pray to seek his Father's God's help to face that which he knew was coming to him. So let's enter the garden and each of us imagine that you are there as one of the disciples. So I'm just going to lead us through a short meditation, and let's use our imaginations. Really imagine that we are there, and the feelings we have, the feelings the Lord Jesus would be having. You might find it helpful to close your eyes to do that. It's entirely up to you. But just for a few minutes, we're really going to enter into the experience of the Garden of Gethsemane. So, as a disciple, at this moment, your mind is going all over the place. At that meal, Jesus said many things. He rebuked John and James, who were vying for position, and said, "The least among you is the greatest." You remember how he had welcomed children and said, "To enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to be as a child." Jesus talked about leadership and that leadership is service. You look down at your feet, which he had only an hour or so before had washed himself. Through your mind is going the thought that one of you is going to betray him. Which one is it? Would it be me? As you remember the Passover meal, you remember Jesus's the words he said, which broke from the tradition, and he said, "This bread is my broken body. This wine is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." What was he saying? What did he mean to do this in remembrance of him? When you left the center of Jerusalem, you'd come down the hillside into the Kidron Valley and climbed up the other side to the Mount of Olives, to this garden where you are now. You look across to see the magnificent temple. You remember the words of Jesus said, "I'll destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised again." What could he possibly have meant? Your stomach is full. The meal laying there. And you are so tired, especially after that climb up to the Mount of Olives. But Jesus wants you to pray. More than one, Jesus asks you to stay awake, to watch and to pray with him. You see the anguish he's in, but your eyes are heavy, your eyelids are like they've got weights on them, they won't stay open. And through half-closed eyes, you look over to Jesus. He looks so alone. So desperate. And you know you should force yourself awake and go over to him as your mind slips in and out of sleep. You convince yourself, surely Jesus will be okay. He always has an answer. He doesn't need me. But not tonight. Not tonight, it would seem. There, surrounded by his friends, Jesus is completely alone. And unbeknown to you at the moment, just a few hours later, after a sham trial and physical torture, Jesus will hang dying on a cross. In his loneliness, he'll cry out at the moment that the sin of the whole world comes upon him. Mine and yours. To separate him from his loving Heavenly Father. And Jesus will quote a psalm, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? He will die alone. Okay, so let's beam ourselves back into the Church of the Good Shepherd from the garden. And Just be seeking the Lord about what we can learn from this and how we can apply it to our lives today. So I'm going to pose as a number of questions. Some we'll discuss, some we will just think about quietly. You might already be thinking about someone you know who is lonely, or maybe somebody you don't, but you perceive they are. Lives down your street, somebody at work. But we're going to think, who are the lonely? And to help answer that question, we're going to see a series of images of people like you and me, while we listen to an oldish but well-known secular song, which invokes the concept of being lonely.